You have been listening to, or you have just missed, the news from VK1WIA. Now it's time for VK6ARN and News West.
VK6 ARN News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931.
Hi there, this is Clinton, VK6 FCRC, and welcome to News West for the 21st of January 2023. Now on with the show.
Hello, this is Dennis, VK6 AKR, for the WA VHF Group. How did you go in the UHF-VHF Summer Field Day last weekend? Participants were in the main members of the WAVHF group, but for future contests of this type, please note that any licensed amateur can participate. It is a good, friendly way to get on air and have some fun. Worried about making mistakes? Don't. I made plenty of mistakes in my first contest, probably even more in later ones too, but I've survived, hi-ho. Survival is largely thanks to the help of others in the contests giving friendly advice, such as the nature of our hobby. The Ross Hole contest continues until the end of this month. Great fun, friendly, hope to hear you on air at times until the 31st. The main and single most important thing with any contest is to please write up and submit your log. Without a confirming log entry, your QSO partner and you will not be given a score. Winning outright is not my aim, but I really do appreciate that my QSO partners have confirmed our contacts by submitting their logs. Stymied by how to log or transfer your handwritten notes into electronic form? Check with your club mates or send me an email. A change of pace. Most of you listening today will know that my club, the WAVHF Group, has its QTH at the Wireless Hill Telecommunication Museum site in Applecross. The special news today is that a new exhibition called Television News is starting and going through until the first week in May. I've not had an opportunity to preview, but it seeks to display the technology, personalities and equipment that made up Television News. The museum curators are very adept at storytelling in this medium, so I am sure that it will entertain and educate for all ages. The exhibition launches today, Sunday the 21st at 3 p.m, if you have a chance to attend. But otherwise, check the City of Melville website for opening hours. Admission is free. I'll leave it there for today and invite you not only to the exhibition, but also to carry on in the Ross Hole contest and, of course, to submit your logs. 73 from Dennis, VK6AKR, for the WA VHF Group.
If you happen to listen to the right part of the 80 metre band on a Tuesday evening, you might hear something that sounds like this. The CQQRS net has been running every single Tuesday for the last 2 years and has been unbelievably popular. There are usually half a dozen, and a couple of times up to 18 stations, popping in and out when they can over the 4 or 5 hours. The aim is to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment, where slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then over time getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or just to enjoy the banter. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed, we'd love to have you join in. The net starts at 0900 Zulu every Tuesday on 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kilohertz, and there's stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our weekly CQQRS RagChew newsletter, Contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via my email address on qrz.com, or you can email me direct, mark.bosma@icloud.com. That is mark.bosma@icloud.com. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So once again, Tuesdays from 0900 Zulu until late, between 3540 kHz and 3570 kHz. Cheers from Mark, VK2KI and VK6QI.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG Technical and General Net. Having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750 or Channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? Going to Dayton Hamvention in Ohio, USA has been on my bucket list for a decade or two. This year I needed to discuss a few things with Flex Radio and I wanted to expand the variety of products in the shop, so it seemed like the perfect chance to get those tasks done and also see what Dayton was about. Picking up some other work over there for another customer to help pay for the trip, as well as working for Flex while I was there, was icing on the cake, so there I was, ticking off one of my bucket list items. How to describe Dayton? 25 to 30,000 attendees, 157 vendors, including all the big radio manufacturers, including Kenwood, surprisingly, but also lots of the smaller vendors such as Buddy Pole and Heil and the like. The look and feel of the event was not dissimilar to the Perth Royal Show, but only runs for 2.5 days instead of 10. There were food trucks and stands dotted around the event, one hall exclusively for use as a forum, four buildings for commercial exhibitors and a large paddock full of flea market car boot style sellers. In fact, looking at the facility in Xenia, where the Dayton Hamvention is now run, the Claremont Showgrounds would make a nicer location with similar facilities, but probably more expensive. To give you an idea of the size of the market, though, there are 762,000 ham licenses in the USA, with just under 130,000 of them living in Ohio and its bordering states. In Australia, we have 19,500 licenses, and I think about 2,000 of them are in WA. There's a lot you can do with a market that size that's likely not going to happen here with our current population of hams. Still, if you scale down our population, a similar attendance should be in the order of 500, or 1 in 4 hams. Not sure off the top of my head how that compares to, say, Hamfest, but it's probably an appropriate amount. I might add that the USA has around twice as many hams per capita than in Australia. I wonder why that is. Looking at the Wyong Field Day that I've attended a number of times, it was a pretty good scaled-down copy of Hamvention, given the size of our market. Wyong typically has an area for forums, an area for commercial vendors, areas for car boot sales, and a few options for food. Wyong has the advantage of a far larger potential audience than we have here in WA. Makes me wonder what could be done if our amateur population, or rather the target audience of an event, was bigger, what could we do? If we expanded the interest of an event to the recreational CB and HF sectors, it would probably be catering to a potential audience of around 5 times the amateur population, so might end up with an attendance of more than 1,000. This could possibly allow us to run a forum in a separate room. They just don't work otherwise, in my opinion. And the size of the market would attract more vendors. It would also bring a bunch of people with similar interests into contact with amateur radio, which would almost certainly bolster our ranks. The forums tied in with Hamfest have been tried to varying rates of success. I think Perth Tech is by far the best example of the forum idea, but they typically don't cater for the vendor or flea market crowd. NCRG and PARG have both tried the forum idea in various forms with limited success, but both, as well as Hagfest, do a great job for vendors and anyone else wanting to sell stuff. If we catered to a larger potential audience, i.e. a combined audience from amateur radio CB and the recreational HF sectors, We get more manufacturers lining up to be a part of the event, which would also benefit our community in terms of more variety of goods on sale, more sponsorship of events, better raffle prizes, and a larger variety of forum topics. This isn't a criticism of our local events. We have great events here in Perth. While NCRG Hamfest has always been the premier event, Hargfest and Pargfest have lately been giving them a big run for their money. This competition's great for all of us as hams attending the event and the clubs running the event having to compete for attendance. So, next club meeting, challenge the committee to look further afield, not only for the things to do at your event, but also the size of the audience you might cater for. Better still, get involved yourself. Think about how your event might be attractive to more vendors, which will in turn drive up attendance numbers and generate more income for your club. Well, thanks for listening again. This is Steve, AK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know?
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Would you believe it? Some information went out with the wrong date on it. Probably my fault. So let's correct it now. The Peel Amateur Radio Group annual Pargfest swap meet will be on Saturday the 10th of February, the first weekend of February. It will be held again at the Mandra Bowling Club, which is on the corner of Allnut Street and Dower Street. It is just up the rise from the Mandra railway station. The doors open at 8 a.m. for exhibitors, and at 9, the doors will be opened for buyers and for attendees. The entry fee is, again, $5 per person, and there will be the draw of the mega raffle at the end of the day. For more information about the mega raffle, go to rafflelink.com.au/Pargfest 2024. There is a link on the Peel Amateur Radio Group website, which is www.parg.org.au. If you, your business, or your club want to book a table at the annual Parg swap meet, please contact the secretary by email now. The email address is on the Parg website.
Write this date up on your new 2024 diary now. Time, 0900 hours. Day, Saturday. Date, the 10th of February. Place, Mandura Bowling Club. Address, corner Allnut Street and Dower Streets, Mandura. Just up the hill from the Mandura railway station. Purpose, Peel Amateur Radio Swap Meet and Draw of the Mega Raffle Prizes. The Peel Amateur Radio Group Mega Raffle is on again now. Prizes will be drawn at the event on Saturday the 10th of February. It is a great morning for all, and well worth the trip. Meet up with friends again and grab a bargain. Go to the PARG website at www.parg.org.au for more information.
You may notice that News West has been light on for content lately, and I've been playing a lot of repeat stories, but you can help us to change that by sending your stories or contributions through to newswest@vk6.net.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? I thought this week we might have a quick look at ham and mainstream communication suppliers in WA, not just shops where you can buy stuff for your weekend projects, but also to highlight some high-class manufacturers based here in WA who support our hobbies in ways that not everyone appreciates. So who do we have in WA? Anyone who's been in the hobby for 30-plus years will remember the Tet M-tron brand. It was synonymous with tri-band Yagis and amplifiers and great quality tuners and other things you needed in your shack. While many of these products are no longer made by M-tron, Tet M-tron moved to WA from Victoria about 15 years ago, and after a brief stint in Perth, moved to the coastal fishing town of Dongara, where Mark, the owner of Tedemtron, still makes great quality antennas, antenna components, balans of all types and power ratings, and components such as coax connectors and lightning arresters. While most antenna manufacturers in Australia only sell assembled antennas, Tedemtron will sell separately every component to build your own antennas, or you can buy a complete antenna in kit form that's proven very popular here in WA, as well as around the country. Mark appears in more ham fests around the country than any other ham supplier, bar none. Mark, along with the rest of the suppliers to our hobby in WA, donates heavily to most, if not all, clubs here with vouchers and products. Another manufacturer in Perth that gets less recognition than they deserve is Bushcom. Bushcom, as well as the ham-specific brand Horizon, make great products for both the ham and commercial HF sector. They make a great selection of wire antennas well suited for the lower bands that also work well in the high bands. And there are a lot of newer hams in Perth whose first antenna has come from Bushcom's factory in Bayswater. On top of that, though, they also make balans, mobile HF antennas, and also open to making the odd special as well. The face of Bushcom, Graham, is also often seen at ham events in WA and also sells many of his products to DX Engineering in the US, one of the world's largest ham sales organisations. He has some great boutique products such as magnetic loops and steerable dipoles for 40 metres. Might add he also donated an 80 and 40 metre antenna to Ham College, which has been very much appreciated. Who remembers the Terlin brand beginning who knows when? I'm only 57, so I don't remember them starting. They made the iconic Outbacker and Ham Outbacker mobile tap whips that were the go-to antenna before auto antenna tuners became a thing. This was also a WA brand that enjoyed global exposure and was based here in Perth. Terry, the owner, still makes the odd shipment of product for his most loyal customers, including major international ham brands. In the regional areas of WA, we also have some great businesses supporting the hobby. In Albany, there's the Leading Edge, who's a registered ICOM ham dealer and active ham, John, VK6KJ. And in Geraldton, there's also another emerging ICOM dealership run by Greg, VK6FG. In Perth, many of the mainstream communications businesses have also supported our hobby in less public ways. A friend of mine who's busily building interest in ham radio in the scouting movement tells me that Radlink repaired his long out-of-warranty repeater recently, and I keep hearing of Steve at Digital Radio Systems in Canning Vale donating all sorts of stuff to various ham groups, including a couple of solar batteries to WAG recently. In the past, Perth has had a very special place in the communications industry. One of two of the largest commercial HF manufacturers in the world, Barrett, is based in Perth and now owned by the largest radio manufacturer in the world. Who hasn't seen a KL or KX repeater in a repeater sites across the country? Many a ham in Perth has worked for the manufacturer dating back to the late 80s and has a soft spot for those radios. A similar radio, but much updated, is still manufactured here in Perth by Spectra Engineering, the owner of which is often seen at ham fests in Perth. I was presenting a design package to Los Angeles County for a data radio system about 10 years ago when Motorola presented their paging system using the MX800 from Spectra Engineering. I was representing a Sydney-based company at the time, but I couldn't help speaking up that it was a great Perth-made product. Other hams in Perth are not only working in iconic Perth comms companies in niche areas, but one Perth-based ham in particular has been central in bringing software-defined radios into the mainstream ham sector, Phil VK6APH, and has lectured on the subject all around the world. Another emerging business in our sector is NetWest. While they're predominantly an IT business, they are the technical muscle behind the Austravel commercial HF network, of which many hams are also a member of. NetWest also repairs ham rigs, and I think the only business doing that here. They do a very professional job of that, by the way. Some of you probably know that I also run a ham business. I don't want this to be a blatant self-serving plug, so I won't harp on long. The business is called DX Radio Systems and has a retail presence in Midland. We're the Australian distributor for Flex Radio and the largest ham ICOM dealer in WA. Google us and you'll find out more. For a city of 1.5 million, we are well and truly overrepresented in the communications industry in this country, in my opinion. Other iconic brands in the past that have manufactured radios and accessories include Wyoc Electronics, Allcom, Perth Communications, who made a small HF mobile radio in the 70s and 80s right here in Perth. So, support your local businesses in Perth who support your hobby. Look at who keeps turning up to all of the ham events or at least donating to them. The hobby would be poorer for their departure. Supporting them assists to make sure that they don't depart, and they're all great value anyway, so you aren't paying a premium to support them. Well, thanks for listening again. This has been Steve, AK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know? If you'd like a text copy of this or other articles, they'll be posted to my blog page at dxradiosystems.com.au about 2 weeks after it's gone to air.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. From the 19th of February 2024, the ACMA, the Australian Communications and Media Authority, the regulator, is modifying the rules for amateur radio in Australia by moving to an amateur class licence, where all amateurs will operate under the same licence instead of under an individual one. You must be qualified to operate under the new class licence, and all currently licensed radio amateurs should now have been issued with a recognition certificate for their current qualification level. Keep this certificate safe. It authorises you to operate as an amateur and shows which call signs you currently hold. I've just received a revision that now correctly identifies my call sign, Victor Kilo 6 Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo, as a four-letter call sign rather than three letters, which caused concern over the longevity of my call. There's no annual charge to operate as an amateur, no charge to keep a call sign, and no charge to do an exam. However, if you operate a repeater or beacon, you'll continue to require a transmitter license. There are once-off charges for applications to consider and issue recognition certificates and call signs, but those are not new. The document that legally defines amateur radio in Australia, colloquially the LCD, is replaced by the Radio Communications Amateur Stations Class License 2023. The regulator carefully states that, quote, to operate an amateur station under the amateur class license, you must comply with the conditions within it, end quote, but doesn't clarify if those conditions have changed or not. External commentary claims they haven't, but it was completely rewritten and it's difficult to compare the precise actual wording side by side. This has happened before, for example, when the regulator introduced the limited license in 1954, the novice license in 1975, abolished Morse in 2004, and introduced the foundation, standard, and advanced licenses in 2005. It was replaced again in 2015 and has been revised since, most recently on the 17th of November 2021. I suspect lawyers will find potentially unintended but material differences between documents, but to my knowledge, that investigation has not yet occurred. I think this is a perfect example of where the peak bodies claiming to represent amateur radio in Australia have a responsibility. There are many rules around the who, how, and where to conduct a qualification exam. For example, the regulator has decided that online or residential exams are not permitted, leaving venues, printed exams, and postal delivery as an ongoing cost and concern. There are plenty of questions left. An amateur at advanced level can hold a club station call sign, but it appears that at a foundation or standard level, you can no longer hold a club station license, like Victor Kilo 6 Bravo Sierra Golf and Victor Kilo 7 Hotel Sierra Delta. You still need to log usage of a remote club station. Describing the requirements, the regulator uses both revise their arrangements and current arrangements will be retained in the same paragraph, apparently contradicting itself. The regulator will ask you every 5 years if you want to keep your call sign. This infers a system to contact you. What does that look like? How will it be maintained? Are there requirements for keeping it current? Does it need to have the location of your station, an email address, or just any means of contacting you? And is it public? The Official Register of Radio Communication Licenses will no longer hold amateur licenses, so it's unclear how you'll be able to contact another amateur, or how we'll be able to know who holds which call signs at what level in which location and when a reminder is due. The details around the new call sign register are incomplete, to say the least. What does breaking the rules look like? With individual amateur licenses, your ability to operate is directly linked to you, and if found in breach, your license can be cancelled. Under a class license, your ability to operate hinges on knowledge that cannot be taken away. The regulator publishes the relationship between some international amateur licenses and qualification levels in Australia. And as an international visitor, you can apparently operate in Australia for 365 days if your current license is recognised. After that, unless you hold a Harmonised Amateur Radio Examination Certificate, or HAREC, you need to apply for a recognition certificate, after either paying for recognised prior learning or passing an exam, even though you were already automatically recognised as having the appropriate qualifications when you entered the country. Does the list of recognised licences get longer as more international amateurs pay for prior learning? And if you leave the country and return, will the clock reset? There's more. For example, the date that you got your US technician licence determines your recognition. Before 23 September 2016, you're recognised at an Australian advanced level. After that, at a foundation level. And finally, if I were an accredited, unpaid volunteer assessor authorised to administer an amateur exam on behalf of the regulator, would I be permitted to comment like I am here, or would I be expected to speak directly with the regulator about my concerns? What happens if speaking directly to the regulator breaks down? What's the penalty for speaking out? Is the regulator going to stop you from being an unpaid volunteer? Before you ask why I didn't put these concerns to the regulator, I'll point out that it's not up to me to fix these issues, nor is it my place to make recommendations. I don't represent anyone, and in my opinion, this should be a community-wide public conversation, not held in secret talks behind closed doors. As an amateur outside Australia, I'd recommend that you pay attention, because I'm sure that bean counters will be taking notes to see if there's money to be saved at your regulator. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo. Lima.
Good morning, this is Roy VK, 6X-ray Victor with this week's hotline, the 21st of January 2024, for radio amateurs and shortwave listeners everywhere. Today I have the following for you. An Emtron grid dip meter, model Echo Delta Mike-1, frequency range 1.5 to 250 MHz, has original carton and manual, as new, $300 for that grid dip meter. There's an Oscar Block power and SWR meter, model SWR200, frequency range 3.5 to 150 MHz, power 2 kilowatts, up to 2 kilowatts from 2 watts, and original carton and manual for that, and asking $100. There's also a Kenwood Tango Sierra 711 Alpha 2-meter all-mode transceiver, $300. There's a Kenwood TS811 Alpha transceiver, multi-mode 70-centimeter transceiver, $300. There's an ICOM IC3200 Alpha and power supply, 144 to 430 MHz dual-band transceiver, $350. And there's the Uniden UHF-CB, $100. Contact Barry on his email, bravo.juliet.burns@bigpond.com, or mobile 0428 959 771. I'll go again, bravo.juliet.burns@bigpond.com, or mobile 0428 959 771. I also have a premium software-defined transceiver, model Flex 6700 transceiver, 3 years old, but in pristine condition. Comes with expert advice if you require any, and version 3 firmware, asking $7.5k or $7,500. And while it's the earlier version, it comes with the latest version controller. Amplifier was sold. Call Steve for that Flex transceiver, 6700 transceiver. Please call Steve on mobile 0447 767 518. 0447 767 518. Or email to steve@kennedy-sierrajuliet.com.au. I'll say that again. Sierra Tango Echo Victor Echo, spelling Steve, @Kennedy, Kilo Echo November, November Echo Delta Yankee, -Sierra Juliet, vk6xrayvictor@vk6xrayvictor.com.au. And that's all I have for you for this week. If you'd like any items for next week in the helpline, please call me or email me on roy.watkins@bigpond.com. That's romeooscaryankee.watkins@bigpond.com or vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. 7-3 until next time. Cheers for now.
Hi there, it's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that NewsWest is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWest Weekly Podcast -Kilo Zulu 7 Yankee Charlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.